There's a pastor who was working with a couple, and they just didn't seem to get along. Pastor finally saw a window of opportunity when the wife referred to her husband as hun. "There's still hope for you," he said. "There's still hope for you. Still hope for your marriage. If you can call him hun." She says, "I've always called him hun, Attila the Hun." Perhaps respect would be a good place to start. As a Christian, do you respect God? I imagine you do. I'd imagine you would say yes. But as a Christian, you might respect God, but do you submit to God? Do you obey God? Do you live according to the way that you understand him and his will for you? Yes, maybe, sometimes. We might respect God, but there are times when we might not submit to him. Let's just think for a moment about respect. What kind of a person do you respect? What character traits, what manner or disposition does someone need to have for you to respect them? They're kind, they're thoughtful, they're patient. They show genuine interest and empathy, take time to listen. They tell the truth. People of integrity, they always do what they say they will do. They have a certain wisdom. They express their gratitude. They're positive people to be around. Is that the kind of person that you respect? And if so, what kind of person do you need to be to gain other people's respect? Are we likely to have the respect of others if they start barking orders and micromanaging our tasks? They're bragging about who they are and their accomplishments. They're demanding attention. They're manipulating us to do the things that they want us to do. We're not likely to respect them, are we? We come today to the third area where Peter is calling for submission and is narrowing the focus. He's asked these persecuted Christians who are now living in Turkey to submit to all earthly authority, to the emperor, to the government. And then to those who are in slavery to submit to their masters. Well, the third place that Peter addresses is between wives and husbands to submit to one another. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate. They're very similar words to Paul's passage from Ephesians 5, where he too speaks of submission. And he firstly speaks to the marriage relationship, to husband and wife. Then he speaks to families, to parents and children. And then he speaks of those in the workplace, to slaves and masters. And for Paul, it's all under the directive of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not one submitting to the other, but both submitting to each other. Submission goes both ways in the Christian relationship. And both Peter and Paul are asking for submission. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Or as Peter says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority. And of course, we struggle with submission because we see it in a negative light, where abuse and mistreatment is likely, of being the doormat, of allowing others to wipe their feet all over us. Naturally, we don't want to submit to anyone. But this is not the biblical definition or the Greek understanding of submission. Our English definition is not the Greek definition. In its simplest form, it does mean to obey the boss, but in the Greek, there is a much fuller and deeper meaning. It is to be under another person's influence out of respect, both to respect them and to gain their respect, to give and receive respect. This is where submission and respect come together. In the Greek, submission is much more about respect than it is about compliance, about obedience. And for the Christian, we come under the influence of one another out of respect for Christ and respect for one another. And so Peter begins, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviour of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." Most husbands struggle to respect their wife if she starts barking orders, demanding attention, nagging, manipulating them. But by such inner beauty, reverence, and purity, she may even win over her non-believing husband into faith into Jesus Christ without words, without speaking. And although these Christians, they're under great persecution living in Turkey, their Christian faith has brought them a freedom and a joy and a peace that they found most fulfilling. The danger was that for Christian wives of non-believing husbands, they may now displease their husbands even further by going to meet with other Christians, pursuing a faith that they didn't respect. And Peter's calling them not to avoid meeting with other Christians, but to endeavour to please their husbands as much as they could. Again, to submit to their husbands meant coming under their influence out of respect, but by doing so to gain their respect. Peter says, "Your inner beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewellery or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." Our culture tells women that they need to wear makeup, to wear the latest fashions, to have their hair just right. How many of you times have you heard, "I'm having a bad hair day," as if that's important? Well, it is, apparently. But your real beauty comes from within, a gentle and quiet spirit. This doesn't mean a squashed spirit of compliance to everybody. You might recall that The word for gentle in the Greek means strength under control. Gentle means strength under control. Every one of us has a certain strength, and that can be used in good ways or bad ways, negative ways. You can use your strength to manipulate and emotionally control others, or your strength may come through a quiet spirit. And that applies to every one of us, not just to the wives, not just to women, but to all of us. There's an unfading beauty in a gentle and quiet spirit, born out in self-control, in patience, in long-suffering. We all need to be gentle. We all need to have our strength under control. We, however, tend to want to fight back, stand our ground, speak out, react in anger, verbally and emotionally manipulate others. But a gentle and quiet spirit is one that is under control, that doesn't attack back. And Peter says, is beautiful. And Peter then refers to Sarah, verse 5. "For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called her her Lord, called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. The holy women of old put their hope in God. As Kate pointed out last week, the Christian slaves, they would submit to their master because they loved the Lord. They trusted God. They trusted that God would ultimately right all wrongs. Their eyes were on God, who loved them much more than their circumstances, their slavery. They trust in God, who is in control of all things. They seek to please God first and foremost. And so wives should submit to their husbands because of their deep desire to please God. And this reveals to her husband and to those who are observing the marriage that she does place Jesus as the Lord of her life. And she seeks to please God first and foremost. Because she places her faith and her hope in God, she submits to her husband. And Sarah demonstrated her faith in God by obeying her husband Abraham. In Genesis 18:12, Sarah refers to Abraham as her Lord or as her master. The word in the Hebrew is a very similar word to husband. She refers to Abram as her husband, but the point that Peter seeks to make is that Sarah has a respectful attitude towards her husband, and that Christian wives, as daughters of Sarah, should do likewise. But then Peter says, do not give way to fear. And here we find the balance. Submit, but don't submit to fear. If your husband is demanding and overbearing, insensitive, abusive, asking you to abandon your faith in God, don't give in to fear. As you come under his influence, you do so out of respect, but also with such a gentle and quiet spirit that you might gain his love and respect. Peter's not saying that you should stay in a marriage where you're dominated by fear and abuse. In fact, Peter's not seeking to answer that question at all, whether it's right or wrong to stay in a marriage or leave the marriage. He's not seeking to answer that question. But don't give way to fear. Live as a Christian, even if your husband asks you not to. Don't give way to fear. And in verse 7, he then goes on to speak to Christian husbands. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, in the same way. The same way as what? In the same way as wives submit to their husbands. You likewise submit to your wives. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands, submit to your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, if you submit to your wife, you come under her influence out of respect for her and with the hope of gaining and retaining her respect. In the same way, husbands, submit to your wives out of a deep desire to please God. And so, men, your strength of character comes not in your physical attributes, but rather your consideration for women, your respect for them, understanding that together we are co-heirs, together, of the gracious gift of life that comes from our Father through faith in Jesus. 2 years ago, I spoke from Ephesians 5, and I went back to the Greek, and I discovered that the word for submission speaks also of another relationship. not just between people, but another relationship, that of two works of literature. When one document would be attached to the other and completes the other. The complete picture or understanding of the literary work was dependent upon both documents working cooperatively together. One document does not stand on its own, but needs the other. Somewhat like our Bible. Each book within our Bible helps to give a fuller understanding of God, to understand his purposes. No book, single book within the Bible tells us the complete picture of God. And so if this then is how we understand submission within the Christian marriage, then neither partner has to be in control. Nobody has to be the boss. Someone doesn't have to have the last say. Because each partner complements the other and both are happy to come under the other's influence. Why? Because out of respect for one another, each is endeavouring to do all that they can for the other's well-being. Neither stand independent of the other. Both complement each other and need each other. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. That may well be physically. Women generally are weaker than the men. But as heirs with you, as the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Wonder, have you wondered about how effective your prayer life is? Failing to keep this relationship one of love and respect and allowing it to then become one of domination and exploitation, well, that damages our relationship with God. It thereby hinders how effective our prayers are. Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then he said, "For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin." And James tells us that we do not receive because we often ask from wrong motives. Where there are relational disturbances between us and others, that hinders our relationship with God and thereby the effectiveness of our prayers. Conversely, or the other side of that coin, if we're walking closely with the Lord in prayer, then he'll be directing us in our human relationships and seeking for us to be obedient to him and to work in submission with him and with others. Now, I mentioned that Peter is narrowing the focus of just what it means to respect and to submit to one another. He begins by calling us to submit to earthly authorities, to the emperor, to Rome. In one sense, we don't have a choice. We have to toe the line when it comes to the law. So we could submit, but not willingly. He then calls slaves to submit to their masters, and although they don't have a choice, they can choose the attitude from which they submit. And now for wives and husbands. Wives and husbands do have a choice. Husbands and wives submitting to one another. This is where the rubber really hits the road. It pinpoints the benefit of submission in all of our relationships. And our society says that we should respect all people, doesn't it? We should have respect for everyone. We have a choice. So the Greek understanding of submission applies to every one of us in all of our relationships. When we understand submission in this light, that we come under their influence out of respect, both to respect them and to gain their respect, then we're less prideful and we're not driven from any desire to be in control, but rather endeavouring to serve one another in humility. We seek to be like Christ, serving others. And we allow others to be like Christ for us, influencing us for the glory of God. And sometimes it's when others, we're relating to them, that they show us or point us to really what needs to happen in here as we submit to them. We truly need to submit to one another to influence and be influenced for the glory of God. As we come to communion, and if you have your elements with you at the moment, then I invite you to get those ready. Jesus gave us some advice regarding submission. Under his influence, under his direction, we do this each week. We come and we share in communion. But listen to his words in Matthew 5. If you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Jesus makes it very clear that right relationships come before ritual. Right relationships come before the rituals. Out of respect for Jesus and out of respect for one another, we're called to make things right in our relationships. Husband, wife, do you need to apologise and ask forgiveness of the other? Parent, child, do you need to make things right? Let's take a moment before we share of the bread and ask the Lord where we might need to make things right with others. It might not be practical to do that right now, but if the Lord's asking you to make things right with someone, I encourage you to do that, your first opportunity. So let's just spend some time. Ask the Lord, is there somebody that I need to put things right with? Ask for his forgiveness, and then we'll share together. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the love that you have demonstrated for us, you've displayed for us through Jesus on the cross. And before we take of this bread, Father, we ask for your forgiveness for our sin. Father, there have been times when we have been disrespectful of others around about us. We've taken them for granted. We have put ourselves before them. We have sought to influence them in ways that have not been godly. And so we ask for your forgiveness. Father, we do ask that you would continue to prompt us in areas in our lives, relationships in our lives where we do need to go to another and ask for forgiveness. We need to apologise. Would you continue to do that by your Spirit? But right now, as we take this bread, we do so grateful of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us, that his body was indeed torn apart for our benefit, for our blessing, that we would come under his influence, your influence, and that we would be saved. So we give you praise and thanks now as we take and eat. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat together. And Father, as we take this cup, we again thank you for it and its symbolism to us, what it reminds us of. We thank you for your forgiveness through which we are now reconciled with you. Thank you that Jesus gave his lifeblood, that he was prepared to die on the cross, and then you raised him back to victorious life. Father, we look forward to that day in glory with you. In the meantime, we thank you as we seek to live lives that bring honour and glory to you. May we seek to be influencers of others for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together.